Xbox. One of the highlights of my week is sitting down with our independent bookseller of the week to discuss great reads that they want to share with Roundtable listeners. It's a thrill to talk about all of these wonderful books. Amy Lane of Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery is here. She wrote yesterday and said, "My list is huge," and we said, "Please, lay it on us. The bigger the better. Bring them all in. We can do it. We'll give you a few more minutes. We'll go to town. Everything will be great." So we have a bonus list today. Ooh. It's very cool. Amy, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Well, it is not only is a chock full list, but it's a great list.
Thank you. Really
good stuff. Very exciting books that are out and about. Where would you like to begin?
I'm going to start with Simon Winchester and his
latest book.
Yes, called The Perfectionists: How Precision Engineers Created the Modern World. Now, I'm going to open this with saying I haven't yet read this. This is just one of those
books.
Just
came out.
Yes, it did. Most of what's on my list today is just coming out
today. Yeah.
But this is one of those books that just makes the little geek scientist wannabe in my heart jump for joy. It just does. And what little I've read about it, there are some really terrific reviews. So it's the idea that it is the precision of the engineering of many objects that we take for granted nowadays that allows them to function and do what they need to do as well as they can do it. And so he takes you from like the Greeks up through the modern era, and it's very cool. So it's gotten, I think, starred reviews from like Kirkus and Publishers Weekly and all these other wonderful publications. And so in one of their reviews, they talk about James Watt, who had invented the steam engine, and then the iron mad John Wilkinson. And mind you, this is, you know, they're both in the 18th century, who was obsessed with ironwork, right? Hence the term iron mad. And he was the one who developed the machine by which they bored out the cannon holes in the military. And so the pistons that that James Watt had invented would create too much energy for the cylinders in which they were housed, and there were leakages and explosions and things like that. And so it wasn't until he sort of paired up with Wilkinson, who was able to, bore these precise holes in the ironworks that helped to manage the pistons and contain that energy so beautifully. So that precision allowed us the steam engine, which of course trickles down into our current combustion engines, etc.
I love Simon Winchester's writing, no matter what he's written about.
It's true.
He's a friend of the stations. He's such a neat guy and such a beautiful writer, and yeah, I just got my copy in the mail.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read it.
And he's always fun. Always, always interesting and fun to read. He never gets boring with his information.
No.
So it can be as esoteric as you could possibly imagine, but he's going to pare it all down and make it palatable, which I love.
Tells a good story.
Indeed.
The new book is The Perfectionist: How Precision Engineers Created the Modern World.
Yay.
By Simon Winchester.
We're talking to you, everybody at GE. So the next one I want to talk about, so this book is called My Ex-Life by Stephen McCauley, and it was described as being a gin and tonic for the soul, which,
lovely.
If that doesn't sell you on it, let me tell you the premise of this story. And I have to say, his writing is an absolute delight. I have enjoyed his turn of phrase and his characters. There's a lot of lighthearted humor in amidst all of the sort of seriousness. So two people, David and Julie, were married several years ago until David finally came out of the closet. And so they separated, went there on their own merry ways. Julie remarried, had a child, and David had had several partners, the most recent of which has just left him. He's now in his 50s and sort of at a crossroads in his own life. Julie and her husband, who had an affair with a much younger woman, naturally, they are in the midst of a divorce. She lives on the East Coast outside of Boston. Her 17-year-old daughter, surly, as all teenagers are, it seems, yes, at that age, is needing some help with her college essays. And so Julie decides to call up her long-lost best friend, who has remained, they've remained in each other's hearts and minds, but they've remained out of touch with one another. So she calls up David and asks him to come and give them some help, and they do. And it is one of those kinds of stories that I love so much because it's about the idea of who we surround ourselves with, the families that we create, and all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives, and how wonderful and heartbreaking and frustrating and absurd they can be. But yeah, this guy's, his writing. So, yeah, there's just some fantastic turns of phrases, and I'm probably open to almost any page to point them out. Anyway, I'm not finding the one I wanted.
That's okay. That's all right.
Of course.
That's all right. Well, we'll give you a second here, but it's the keep looking. But it's the name of the book is My Ex-Life, yes, by Stephen McCauley. Has he written other stuff?
Oh, yeah. So one of his most well-known, because they turned it into a movie, was The Object of My Affection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So similar kind of themes, again, that run through. And it does. He has that really lighthearted touch. Oh, I had marked it. And then, of course, I lost my... I took the bookmark out. Silly Amy. At any rate... Read the darn thing. Just
okay,
pick
there
it up,
you go.
Read it.
You'll know what she means.
You will. The first couple, I can probably read you the first paragraph. No, it was not the happiest moment in David Hedge's life. Soren, his partner of 5 years, had left him. He'd gotten fat, and somewhere in the midst of that, he'd woken up one day and realized he was no longer in his 20s or his 40s. The last person he expected to hear from was Julie Fiske. And that's how it opens. So
well,
there.
My Ex-Life, yeah. And the author is Stephen McCauley.
Yes.
All right.
On to, let's go to John Meacham, another wonderful historian.
Yes.
His latest book that, again, comes out today is The Soul of America, The Battle for Our Better Angels. This, to me, is that beacon of hope that we so desperately need in these current days of that he reminds us of so many times in our history in which we have struggled through dark times with people in our government, in our society, who are, oh, for lack of a better term, sort of oppressing us in whatever way you want,
yes,
to examine that. And how, turning the phrase from Lincoln, our better angels, right? The nature of our better angels is what really, more often than not, rises to the top. This is the book that reminds us that when we are challenged, that allows us to pull, you know, in deep within ourselves, to rise to those occasions and fight the good fight, which is what needs to be fought, and how we have done that time and time and time again and have succeeded. They may be small successes. We may have made baby steps, but at least we're moving forward.
Right.
So hang on to that. Read this book, feed your soul a little bit with the soul of America, because it is what is going to get us through. And it is a strong, solid reminder of that which we can.
The name of the book is The Soul of America by John Meacham. May I see that just for a moment?
Absolutely.
John Meacham has one of the coolest titles I've ever heard. He gave a beautiful eulogy at Barbara Bush's funeral and a Pulitzer Prize-winning biography. But he, I believe now he, besides being a professor at Vanderbilt and overseeing the Society of American Historians. I think he doesn't he have his own thing at Random House? Like he's at his, I believe he is a.
Like his own imprint?
I think so.
That I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I have to look at that. Look that up. But he has some sort of cool gig with them. And
way to go.
Yeah, it's
well deserved.
Sort
too.
Of like overseeing the historical content
oh, okay.
of the. It was my understanding, but something
I,
like that.
I haven't heard anything about that, but if that's true,
well, maybe I'm making it up because it's not
cool.
in the back of the book. I thought it was there, but I guess not.
Who knows? Okay, so the next one I want to talk about is Barracoon. The story of the last quote unquote black cargo by Zora Neale Hurston. Yes, the author of Their Eyes Were Watching God. And this was, she wrote this back in 1931 after extensive interviews with Cujo Lewis, who was the last living known, person captured in Africa and brought to America on a slave ship.
Hmm.
So Zora Neale Hurston, and I don't know, I did not know this until this book, that she was an anthropologist. And in fact, the very well-known anthropologist at the time, Dr. Franz Boas, asked her to go and do these interviews. So in my mind, that lends a lot of clout to her anthropological status historian status in my mind. And actually the book really lends itself to that because she does a very good job with getting him to talk about his life and being taken from Africa by other Africans is his story. And she doesn't, so his whole storytelling is told in his own voice, which is in a very unique dialect. And she remains really a part of it, but she doesn't intercede and impose herself into his storytelling. She really allows him to go through it. And it's hard, and it's heartbreaking, and it's not an easy thing to read and to hear, but I urge everybody to pick up this book and read it. It is too important, I think, of a study and a story to dismiss.
Barracoon, the story of the last black cargo, Zora Neale Hurston.
Yeah.
All right. Just because I found this.
John
Meacham was the executive vice president of the Random House Publishing Group and executive editor with his responsibility acquiring and editing nonfiction titles focusing on history and biography.
Cool.
And he left that position after 6 years to write this book and also to go work at Vanderbilt University. So that's
okay.
my report to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that knowledge. Awesome. Okay.
Break it out whenever you want. Okay.
Shall.
All right.
All right.
How much? We got like 5 minutes. Okay.
Oh crap! I got a lot to go.
Okay.
Through.
Let's
Sorry.
Go. All right.
Michael Angianti has a new book out called Warlight. Again, post World War II. Two children, 12 and 14, left behind by their parents after the war. The parents are supposedly going off to Singapore, leaving the children in the hands of what they believe are, in fact, criminals. And they're right. They are. They're being held by, not held, but taken care of. Actually taken care of by a couple of oddball criminals. So that should be a good one if you're a fan of Michael
Warlight. Warlight. All right.
Yes. Richard Russo has a collection of essays called The Destiny Thief. Of course, he is who he is. And if you love his writing, even his fiction, just read his essays. They're well worth it. It has everything that you love about his fiction in it.
And about the writing life,
yes.
Right? About writers and the writing life.
Yes.
And it's a gorgeous collection. I finished it a couple of weeks ago, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And anyone who knows me knows that he's one of my favorite writers, and I just think he's...
Yes, so even if you like fiction and you don't necessarily read the essays, read it anyway, because he's awesome.
Okay.
So Stephen Greenblatt, one of the preeminent Shakespearean scholars of our time, has written a book called Tyrant, Shakespeare on Politics. I don't think I need to say much more than that, but it's a really interesting use of Shakespeare to explore how one deals with a tyrant in their midst.
I'm a big fan of Stephen Greenblatt, but I started to read this book because we're going to have him on the show, and my God, is it good.
It is.
It's really, really good.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And then these are my two kids' picks. There's The Miscalculations of Lightning Girl. This young girl, when she was 8, was struck by lightning, and it caused her to have massively brilliant mathematical expertise. So she can do any math calculation that you could possibly imagine. Socializing with kids her own age does not come as easily to her. Mm. And so her grandmother, who is her guardian, has charged her with going to middle school. And it is
all right.
Such a delight. Yes, so... great, good book for the middle grades, middle grade person in your life.
The Miscalculations of Lightning Girl. We have 3 minutes left for the book that you came in here positively giddy about.
It's true.
You started to show me and said, no, I'll save it for the radio. So
yes.
That's good.
Okay, so this is what would we normally call a picture book.
Or a board book, right? Is that what it is?
No, it actually is a picture
okay. All right.
book.
All right.
But it's called... Who Was That? By Olivier Talek. And so he has this whole other series, which started with Who Done It and Who, What, Where. And the premise of this is he will line up these little characters, right? So you'll see a picture. This one has 6 different characters wearing different
little
outfits.
Very cute, by the way. Big bulgy eyes and little dots for eyes.
Yes, and then... on the opposite page, it says, blow out the candle, because this little boy's holding a candle, and turn the page. So you turn the page, and now you see a silhouette of those same 6 characters.
Oh, because the light is gone.
Yes, and now the question you are asked is, who is wearing a yellow scarf?
Oh, now you either have to remember or go back to the
and
page
cheat.
Before.
You don't cheat. You have to remember. That's the point of all of this.
All right. I have no idea.
No, of course not, because it's really hard. So this is supposedly for kids. I'm not kidding. This book is so cool. I was turning pages. But,
all right.
And you have to seriously take the time.
What is Olive afraid of?
What is Olive afraid of? So that's the question. And you see.
All right.
And then you turn the page and it says... but do you remember the color of Olive's undies?
No.
Do you?
No, because I was so worried about the plant and the tree and all that other stuff.
Right. Right? So this is fun. It's so much fun. But it's a great way. All of his books are really there to help sharpen one's skills. Of observational skills and deductive reasoning.
Meaning our skills.
Our skills. All skills are as adults and kids. These are such a delight to do. Again, this whole entire series, it's all about deductive reasoning. It is about observation. It is about... well, this one is all about misdirection, which, again, I love. So this is my wonderful, wonderful picture book pick for this week.
You know, because there's nothing more. It's a great pick because there's nothing more I want is to be humbled by a book for 4-year-olds. Sign me up.
No, it's better than that. I totally misled you.
No, it's very fun. It's just, it seems a little, scary.
It is. It's amazing what we do and don't do.
Well, the name of the book is Who Was That? By Olivier Talek. The whole list is on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You can also visit their website, opendoor-bookstore.com, opendoor-bookstore.com. Or better yet, visit them on J Street in Schenectady.
Yeah.
Amy Lane, we love you. Thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.